Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome aboard. It's Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580, starring certified financial planner, the man with the plaid tie, Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
He does have a plaid tie today.
He does.
It's very plaid, snazzy.
But it's not fuzzy.
No, it's not fuzzy.
You can't say it's warm either. Almost makes you wish for one of those shirts, right? Well, tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Today is
the 13th. Just for any of you who may have forgotten, as Heidi was telling me this morning, she said, Dennis, remember Jill.
Who?
No matter what Jill says to you, don't listen to her about what to get her for Valentine's Day. Get her something. She'll always be glad. So I was laughing because I was thinking of the text I got from her this morning.
Oh, no.
So let's just dive right in, shall we? The private lives of Dennis and Jill.
I can't wait to hear this. I'm sure she's glad it's on the radio.
So I was upstairs sitting next to the fire, minding my own business, studying, and I had this thought. I said, you know, I wonder if she wants to go to breakfast. She's downstairs, and I text her, hey, how about breakfast out tomorrow a.m.? Maybe, she says.
No.
As long as I get flowers.
Good for her.
But if your sweetheart says to you, you know, it's no big deal. It's Valentine's Day. You don't have to get me anything. That means
You get them something.
Exactly. She had said adamantly, do not get me flowers. Like several times. Don't get me flowers.
I just thought
that was so hilarious. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Deanne Jennings joins us. She's going to be doing the Deanne stats this morning. Thank you, Deanne, for joining us as well. So we have both Heidi and Deanne with us.
Deanne's data.
That's good. That'll be our new title.
It's my pleasure to be here, but I'm sad. Shay's sick.
So this morning we're going to be discussing the economy, the required beginning date, which there's some confusion on. Heidi will be discussing that. Deanne, of course, doing the, what did you say, Deanne's details or something?
Data.
I like that.
Data.
And then if we have time, also HSAs and some surprises on Medicare premiums as well. Keep in mind, the level of your income has an impact on your Medicare premiums, and we'll discuss that. But first, economy. The U.S. Treasury market may be trying to tell us that the coronavirus, just think beer and then virus, you got it, effect on global economic activity is greater than investors currently think. We don't know. This is like seriously looking into a mirror darkly, if you will. It is rather opaque still. We don't know the full effect of this. Here is some interesting information I thought you might find helpful. Shanghai has a population of 24 million people. Suzhou has another 11 million people approximately. Both of them are all but completely shut down. Shanghai is Chinese equivalent of New York City. Suzhou is a very significant manufacturing hub. Foxconn is a major manufacturer of Apple products in China. And Apple also is the most heavily weighted common stock in the S&P 500, trading at almost double a year ago in price. Yeah.
So they could stop making iPhones.
We don't know.
Yeah.
They just released, I think they had 15,000 more reported cases, I guess, out of China last evening. And my thinking is I think they're just still... For whatever reason, I don't trust the Chinese on the numbers. I just don't. And I think they may be just coming out and trying to get closer to the truth to not shock the world. But who knows? Again, it may not be as bad. And then Heidi also saw a report this morning that out of San Diego,
a company is working on a vaccine the virus. So that was on Fox Business News website this morning. Right.
So this is not a tempest in a teapot. It is something more than that. But at the same time, we don't know the responses we might get given the significant economic benefit for any company that can come up with a antivirus, if you will. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I thought that's interesting. It's interesting to note on the economy, the overall world economy, China's got some troubles, and we don't know the full effect of the coronavirus and how volatile or virulent, if you will, that will be.
But if China has troubles, then the world, the U.S. has troubles, right? Because we're so linked economically?
We are interdependent, yes. I think would be a good way to put it. Now, Jeremy Powell, January 29th, said, there are grounds for what I would call cautious optimism for the global economy. We are not at all assured of a global rebound, but there are signs and reasons to expect it. And then comes the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's saying as well, it's still somewhat unknown. Mr. Powell said it is too soon to say how the virus would affect Chinese, global, and U.S. growth. There will clearly be implications, of course, in the near term for Chinese output, and I would guess for their close neighbors. We'll just have to see what the effect is globally. So we're still trying to see. And then number three point on the economy, the current economy, the next two Federal Open Market Committee meetings take place on March 17 and 18 and April 28, 29. So a month and a half, 2 months out. The U.S. Treasury market in recent days seems to be anticipating a rate cut by the FOMC at one of these two meetings, which is still a surprise to me, too. I mean, I was just checking on mortgage rates the other day, 3.5% or so. It just seems like it is low, historically, very low.
Yes.
Yeah. The U.S. Treasury market in recent days seems to be anticipating a rate cut by the FOMC at one of these two meetings, which would be a surprise to the consensus view of Fed policy by the investment community. Surprise. They may cut rates. Hmm. So the nice thing is they still have some room to cut. They raised rates, and there's still some wiggle room in there, although not much.
What's the federal rate at, like under 2%?
Well, the interest rate environment, we're at 1 month treasuries right now, about 1.5%.
1.5, geez.
The thing is, the 10-year is just a touch below that. We're at as of this printing here, I didn't check the rates there this morning, but we are an inverted yield curve. 10-year rate's lower than the 1 month rate. Just seems crazy. You know, buying a 10-year note and getting a lower rate than 1 month, what would that indicate for the economy? Well, generally in a recession at some point, although that's still difficult to know. Because we have had so many positive things in the economy from the government side in terms of positive help for the economy itself. So many regulations removed. Those are costs in the economy that have been taken out. Given those costs, that's why, you know, frankly, for the man on the street, if you will, saying even those who are relatively, not that positive about Donald Trump, just had some conversations over this last week, and a longtime friend said, you know, it's pretty hard to argue with this kind of success. It's just tough to argue with. And I thought that was interesting to note.
The Fed chief there also told Congress again, though, he said, if we have a financial crisis or a slowdown, it makes it difficult for us to react to that when we have trillion-dollar deficits. Mm-hmm. So stop spending.
A great point. Now, let's see whether or not they listen to him. I mean, they may be hearing, well, that's what Jeremy's supposed to say. What's for dinner, honey? You know, whatever. Hopefully, they would be listening to him in terms of cutting their spending. But, you know, you've heard what it's like asking a baby to stop drinking its milk, if you will, and whatever. It's, Ronald Reagan had a few things to say about that, too. But we'll see whether or not they're responsible enough to actually cut spending. Now, the current deficit does that, but you can see the fighting that's coming out of Washington, D.C. about the abject ridiculousness of trying to cut the deficit. Why? That's just the nastiest thing in the world, you know. So they do compete with funding, with the money game, if you will. Money is a commodity like anything else. And so that demand, given that huge demand from the government, necessarily constricts business from being able to get it as well, if that drives the price up on as an interest rate. If interest rates go up, cost of business goes up. Given that cost of business, generally it means that profits go down. Makes sense? See, they're nodding next to me, too, so you know, I must be right.
Absolutely.
Here's number four. High levels of public debt absorb too much of the private sector balance sheet, just as you were saying, Ron. You know, you were before that. You know, the economy cannot have high treasury issuance, onerous bank regulations, and high-risk asset valuation simultaneously. The Fed Reserve, in hopes of preserving the wealth effect, thereby must intervene in an effort to stabilize an environment of high treasury issuance, onerous bank regulations, and high-risk asset valuations. So it is a balancing act that they're trying to do. And so cutting the cost from the public sector would definitely benefit the private sector or business. And just thinking about this spending frenzy that we're possibly talking about from government in the coming years wouldn't help business at all. In fact, it would constrict it and be very difficult from that side. Isn't it interesting just to think about that balance that might be created between demand, interest rates, and the private side, too? It is a competition for money. So if we can get them to be more responsible with their spending when things are this positive, oh, that would be incredible in terms of a long-term economic expansion.
So, Dennis, part of this discussion, too, is that by having the lower interest rates and the higher debt, these are things that are going to cut the options for the Fed if the economy does start to slow down. Is that correct, that these sort of things will limit the tools that they have in their arsenal to do something to help the economy if it does slow down?
I know. See, Ron, you wanted to see this graph here.
Dennis is showing Ron a graph.
10-year annualized rate.
Of growth.
Of growth versus the 10-year bond yield. They went up and now they're down.
Yeah, it's down significantly.
Significantly.
And so we see that growth in the economy continue to slow. And that's one thing, you know, they are left with fewer pieces of ammo, if you will, in their arsenal of things they might do. What does that mean from an investment standpoint, class?
I'm looking up an article from a listener who texted us something about Donald Trump, President Trump, pressing Apple to shift their production of Apple phones from China to the U.S., but I don't have the details on that.
Talk about prescient, huh? Yeah. I mean, seriously, you want to diversify. Diversification by Apple and you, right?
Didn't Apple
necessarily just moving a bit toward being a somewhat more conservative? We have to be careful talking about this on the radio. We don't want to alarm unnecessarily. At the same time, there are some warning signs out there in this economy. Heidi, yes.
Yeah, didn't Apple recently in Texas, they were going to open a new facility or something. I sort of remember in the news in the last couple of months, them talking about that. So maybe that's a good sign of them diversifying production.
Yep. So this information comes from our advisor that we look to, Rob. Thank you very much, Rob, for this information. I'm not going to list his full name. He would rather it remain unnamed. But fantastic information, which we periodically reference here.
And Apple did, they're building right now a facility in Austin, Texas.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
It's great.
Nice.
Okay. So, yeah, important. All right.
All right.
Heidi.
Yes.
Heidi
who?
Got the HSA situation, the RBD, required beginning date. We'll discuss the HSA if we have time. Sorry.
Right.
So the required beginning date, some confusion about that. So let's go into
this
the details.
I'm going to talk about what you need to know about your required beginning date or your RBD for your RMD. So
what's RBD again?
Required beginning date. And then RMD is your required minimum distribution. Okay, so there's been some changes with the recent SECURE Act law in December of 2019. So this is information is updated for that new change. So what is the required beginning date? This is your date for beginning to take required minimum distributions, or RMDs, from your retirement account if you have an IRA or an employer plan. The rules differ depending on the type of retirement account you have. So we're going to go into the two different types. We'll talk about the IRAs, and then we'll talk about the employer plans. So for the IRAs, under the new SECURE Act, which is effective in 2020, the RBD for IRA owners is April 1st of the year after you turn age 72. So before this act went into effect, the age was 70 and a half. So that age is now 72. So what this is saying is that you have, when you are required to make that distribution from your IRA in the year you turn 72, you are allowed to take it in the year following up to that April 1st date. So they give you a little bit of a break that first year. But just to caution people, if you do wait till the following year, that means you'll have two RMDs due for that year. So
what if you want to take money out before then? Do you have to take out a certain amount, or only there's a certain amount after you turn 72? Like what if you're 68 and you want to take out twice as much as your RMD would be?
You can always take, once you hit 59 and a half, you can always take out as much as you want from an IRA. But you want to remember that you're going to be taxed as income tax will be due on any amount you take out. So it's going to raise that income level. So you want to be cautious before you take out those large dollar amounts. How's that going to affect my tax bracket, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right, Dennis?
And Ron, so when you do get to be 59 and a half, you'll be able to take out your IRA or a portion of your IRA without having to pay the penalty.
Okay, so just with this change of age from the 70 and a half before SECURE Act to 72 after SECURE Act, you want to be, if you turned 70 and a half in 2019, you will need to take an RMD for 2019, but you have till April 1st of 2020 to do so.
Of this year. So if you turned 70 and a half last year, you still have to take a required minimum distribution. And if you, for some reason, forgot it, and that was your first year, you were 70 and a half last year, you have until April 1st. So in essence, about 6 weeks to get that money out of there, right?
Right. And if you had to take one for 2019, then you are going to continue to have to take RMDs in the future.
Okay.
It's only for people who turn 70 and a half in 2020 or later that get to wait until 72.
So
is that nice and complicated?
If you were 70 on July 1st of last year, that would mean that you wouldn't have to take your required beginning date. Does not it's extended now to age 72.
Correct.
Because you were not 70 and a half in 2019.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? So what would be the date of birth? July 1st of what year for you to be 70 last year? 19 and 49.
Ah, okay.
1949. So anyone born July 1st of 1949 or later gets to extend their required minimum distribution date, or RBD date, if you will, to age 72.
That's right.
Okay.
So we're using information from Ed Slott, and he wants to point out there are a couple of drawbacks if you wait for that required beginning date. If you wait till the next year to take it, you may pay a higher tax rate because you're taking out two of those RMD amounts in one taxable year. More of your Social Security income could be taxable if that happens, and you may lose tax exemptions or deductions. So this is something that you want to meet with your tax preparer and talk about so that you can do some planning and figure out what's the best way to withdraw that money.
So this depends on your regular income that you're getting from other sources, your tax bracket, And then as well as how much your required minimum distribution actually is. Now, at age 70 and a half, it's also worthy to note that any time after age 70 and a half, you can still do what's called the Qualified Charitable Distribution.
Correct.
QCD. All right. Did you mention that already?
I have not.
She's not even gotten to it yet. Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, just another acronym, QCD, for the RMD after the RBD.
Yeah. We've already lost everyone in the weeds, but let's talk about it anyway.
Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit. We were talking about IRAs. So now we're going to talk about 401k plans or company plans. The rules are generally the same, except for there is a still working exception. So you don't have to take an RMD if you are working past age 72 and you are covered by an employer plan of your current employer. So that's the plan for who you're working at when you turn 72.
If you have any income working for 1 hour, you are an current employed individual with that company and a participant in that 401k. That's the definition, all right? It's very slim in terms of a definition for required work, all right?
Okay. So the required beginning date, or RBD, is April 1st of the year after separation from service. If you separate from service this year, you can defer the 2020 RMD until April 1st of 2021.
So but you're still working at, let's just use Ron as an example. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's still working here at WTCM, and he's 72 years old. See? Colleen says, please no. Please no. So you're 72.
Yep.
You don't have to take a required minimum distribution from the 401k here at WTCM. Now, let's say you were done in June of this year and you were 72 or whatever age it is. It doesn't matter. You could be 80 years old, theoretically. Then you don't have to take the RMD until when? And Heidi, let's say he's done in June of this year. When does he have to take his RMD?
If he's done in June of 2020, yes, he would not have to take it until April 1st of 2021.
2021. So he can spread out the income from that, thinking of the tax side. Why is tax? Why? Because it is a cost, and it's part of the investment game. Think about the tax as well as everything else.
Well, let's take your example a little bit different.
Sure.
So say Ron was 72 this year, mm-hmm, but he waited until January 2nd to stop working.
January 2nd of 2021.
Correct.
All right.
Then he would have until April 1st of the following year,
2022,
to make his first RMD. Yeah. So by waiting, if you were going to retire, plan to retire December 15th, you might want to think, hey, maybe I should work 2.5 more weeks. And that way, I can wait an additional year before I need to take out my first RMD.
Do you have to take RMDs for both your 401ks and your IRAs? Right?
Yes, both. Yeah. Any plan, any 401k plan where you're not still working at that employer of that plan, so maybe you have an old one from a former employer, you will have to follow those rules we talked about before, that once you turn 72, you have to start those RMDs for those. The only one that we're talking here is the exception, the still working, and it has to be that employer.
I forget we've asked this before, but how do you know this? How do you know, I better take my first, my RBD this year? If you don't have a financial planner on your team, does anybody send you a note and say, hey, happy birthday, it's time for you to make your RBD?
You will probably get a notice from the custodian of where your account is.
If you open the mail from your 401k, you might see the notification.
Okay.
But I wouldn't
know. Not everybody does that.
Yeah. And I wouldn't count on that because we've... Yeah. There's a lot of problems in that area. Mm-hmm. So another great idea is to come in and talk to a financial advisor and have someone take a look at your situation, and they would be able to go over it with you. And we offer that kind of service to our clients where we do a lot of RMD planning. Like, how are we going to do this? When are we going to do it? So that it's the best tax situation possible.
We actually track internally how what percentage of RMDs we process for all our clients. We track it every week.
Because the penalty? The penalty is 50%.
Okay.
Of the amount not taken.
Of the amount not taken.
Nice.
Unless you can blame it on someone. Which
50% paid to the government.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. They want you to take the money out so you can pay the tax on it.
Indeed.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
And I have one more thing, because, you know, the beauty of the tax code and the government coming up with these regulations, the exception to the exception.
Ah, yes.
If you own more than 5% of the company for which you work, you must take an RMD. If you have an employer, SEP, or simple IRA, you must follow the IRA rules, which means you must take an RMD at 72.
Ah.
Okay.
So if you're an owner of the company, all the rest of this does not apply.
Got it.
I'm more than 5% owner.
There's always the exception to the exception, just when you think you got it understood, right?
In other words, see a financial advisor.
Yeah, exactly. If you're nearing that age, definitely.
We see many people putting their accounts together at one place just so that they can handle these details that relate to the different accounts, and making certain if... You know, given that, let's say it's one or both of them are trying to track what's going on, as well as for those who follow. Okay, well, now, what was the RMD from this one? And did you take it because you have to take it from each 401k? You see what a minefield that turns into, because you can't commingle your 401ks to take it from just one if you need a required minimum distribution from, let's say, four 401ks. You have to take an RMD from each 401k. And it may be great for some people, but after a while, they just, in some cases, not every, they just get tired of trying to keep track of all of this. Mm. So, yeah, that's what we try to do.
We have some more information to pass on, but first we'll go to a call from, I believe, Cedar. Let me double check here. Maple City from Amity. Good morning, Amity.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Hi, just a clarification on these RMDs. Now, if my total retirement account totals up that my RMD is, say, $5,000, I don't have to take $5,000 from my IRA and $5,000 from a 401. It just has to total to $5,000, correct?
Well, that's a tricky question, because you can put all your IRAs together and take your RMD for that IRA amount from one of your IRAs. But you can't combine 401ks and IRA balances and take from one. You have to take 401ks from 401ks and IRA balances from IRAs.
So does that mean, your RMD total, your required minimum distribution, is based on the amount you have total in your retirement accounts?
Correct.
And so if, say, the example Amity gave, if $5,000 is his, does that mean he has to take $5,000 from all of his IRAs, just $5,000, but also $5,000 from the 401k, or just $5,000 total?
It's all going to depend on the balances in the two different kinds of accounts. Hmm. So for the IRA, you would take the balance at 12/31 of 2019, and you would take the divisor from the table, the RMD table that's provided by the government, and you would divide your balance by the divisor depending on your age, and that would be the amount you have to take from an IRA titled account. You can't add what you had in your 401k and what you had in your IRA. Each one has to be separate.
So you have to apply that divisor to both types of accounts.
And take them from those corresponding accounts. Now, you may want to go in and talk to someone, especially if you have a simple plan. Simple plans have very specific rules to those kind of IRAs and SEP IRAs. So you want to make sure that you're taking like from like. Some accounts can be combined together, and you can take one from one of those kinds. But there are a lot of rules on that. But you don't want to combine your 401k and your IRAs.
Okay. Well, then a follow-up question. When you do take that money out and you pay the tax on it, you can do anything you want with that money. If you don't need it, you can reinvest it?
That is correct. You could open a non-qualified account or a non-retirement account and open an investment account and keep that money invested and working for you.
Could you just throw it back into your IRA?
Only if you can are eligible to make a contribution for that year. So you'd have to have earned income. You'd have to be within the income limit. So that it is possible. People do that. They'll have to take one of the new rules with the SECURE Act is that it used to be that once you hit 70, you couldn't make contributions to IRAs anymore. But that has gone away. As long as you have earned income, you can still make contributions to an IRA.
All right. And if that's not the case, open up a new account.
That's right. Keep it invested.
Amity, thanks for the buzz there in Maple City, and always best to sit down with a professional in matters of money. All right. And as always, you can reach Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, 947-3992. On the web, proutfinancialdesign.com.
Correct.
And from that website, they have links to these shows people can listen to.
That's right.
Podcasts.
Podcasts.
Yep. And check it out.
iTunes. And Saturday morning, the whole program is repeated 9 till 10 a.m.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.